Brother Lawrence Stone is to speak to us tonight. On the subject, the Lord hath spoken. And has asked to be read in connection with this subject, the first chapter of Isaiah. We would call your attention to it this time and ask those that would follow from the Bible. Isaiah, the first chapter. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye shall revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the feet even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with anointment. Their country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughters of Zion is lifted as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts hath left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats, of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moon and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yet when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious, and companions of thieves. Every one loveth gifts, and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. They that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired. They and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench it. So reads the first chapter of Isaiah. And we'll now give our attention to our brother Lawrence Stone.
Dear brothers and sisters, respected friends, I can say truthfully, it's indeed a pleasure to be here. And I might say that you have a very good salesman among you. Brother Jim Stanton has been after me to come, or after us to come, for some time. And he finally sold us the idea this year. And we are here. And I can certainly speak for my wife, Sister Stone, as well as myself, that we are very glad to be here. We've only had 2 days, but we have certainly enjoyed the first 2 days of the Bible school, and we look forward to enjoying the rest of the week. It seems that the talks that we've had so far and some of the classes, that it's a good thing that the book of Isaiah has quite a few number of chapters in it, because we have heard quite a bit from the book of Isaiah. And when we heard the lecture last night, which was very good, and also the classes this morning, I began to get a little worried. I wondered if I would have any of my talk left. But I think I have, and although some verses may be repeated that you've heard so far and some thoughts, we know that the Apostle Paul has told us through the scriptures that he doesn't tell us these things, or at that time tell them those things, because they didn't know them, but because they knew them, and they needed to be reminded of these things day in and day out. We find that the Lord has spoken in times past. The Lord speaks to us today through his recorded word, and the Lord will again speak in the future. The Lord reminds us at all times through his holy word that he wants to talk with us. And when we read his word, spoken through the ages by angels, the prophets, and the apostles, we realize how important it is to us to always keep close to him. And how can we keep closer than by reading and rereading his words recorded for our admonition and learning? In times past, he revealed his purpose through visions, through dreams, and other ways. Even at times caused animals to speak. We read from Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir to all things, by whom also he made the world. In Psalms 29, we find a few verses, beginning at the third verse, reads thus, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Also in Psalms 89, verse 34, he says here, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." Keeping in mind, the Lord has spoken. And also in Numbers 23, verse 19, we read, "Says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" We find that going through the scriptures, that the words, "the Lord has spoken," or "thus saith the Lord said," are found at least 2,000 times throughout his holy word. Now, from the title that I've chosen this evening for my lecture, "The Lord Has Spoken," we could speak on the whole scripture, because we realize and know of a surety that it has all come from the Lord, from God Almighty. As one brother remarked, you sure have left yourself a lot of room for a subject. What I have chosen this evening out of the Word of God is a subject which I feel is very close to us, and one that is very important that we keep in our minds, as it concerns us in many ways. The scriptures that speak of God's chosen people, the Israelites. We find in Isaiah the 45th chapter, verse 19, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not under the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." We find in the scriptures that salvation is of the Jews. And we also find that this is very difficult for people to understand. That salvation is of the Jews. And yet, this is a definite statement that is made in the Holy Scriptures. But we find in reading about the history of the Israelites that no nation in the history of mankind that has had such a bearing on the world at large as the Jewish nation. There is no nation that can trace its history and pedigree back to the remotest antiquity as the Jewish nation can. In this and in many other ways, it has been a wonderful people, so much so that their history and present status in the world are unaccountable when compared with other nations. During the long history of this people, they have enjoyed peace and prosperity comparatively for only a very short time. About three-fourths of their history has been one of trouble, exile, and persecution. The great Gentile nations, Babylon, Greece, Rome, in the zenith of their power and glory, were famous as long as they maintained their power and prestige in the world. But as soon as the tide turned, down they went. Their downfall to them meant their obliteration as nations from the earth. Where is Assyria? Where is proud Babylon? Where is the boasted greatness of classic Greece? What has become of the mighty empire of Rome? What has defeat done for these nations? They are gone. Their identity has been lost, and their subjects and citizens have been absorbed. Among the multitudes of the past and present divided world, many nations have raised their hand to smite Israel and endeavor to crush it from the earth. But in spite of all this, the people are here today. They are in every land. They are in every city, in every street, marked out distinctly from every other people, hated and despised. And yet they are the victors in almost every conflict in which they engage, except in the conflict for national existence and power as a kingdom. We find many headlines in our newspapers today and for the past few years speaking of a federation of Arab nations, of Egypt, Syria, and Iraq, and the others, how they set their sights on Israel. They set their sights on Israel to wipe them off the earth. As a statement has been made by the Egyptian president, Nasser, that he would like to push them into the sea. Now we find a very interesting few verses in the 83rd Psalm. Each and every one of you in reading about this subject. We find here the psalmist says, "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee." So we see here that the psalmist is recording this, that they have consulted together to cut them off from being a nation. Now we know, according to God's word, that this can never happen, because God has a hand, a very definite hand, in his people, the Israelites. And there are many things that are promised in the scriptures regarding this land that they are in today and regarding this people. For the Lord hath spoken it. The written prophecies of Isaiah open with an appeal to heaven and earth to listen, to listen. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. What greater occurrence could there be in human experience than a message from God? When the Bible says that God has spoken, or the Lord has spoken, it means a speaking as direct as when one man speaks to another. It is recorded, "Thou testifiest against them by thy Spirit in thy prophets, not by the will of man, but as moved by the Holy Spirit." A speaking, therefore, by inspiration, or as men say, by miracle. Thus only can the purpose of God be declared, for how are we to know his purpose and his will if he did not tell us? The stars are silent, the sea is silent, the woods are silent. Our hearts are silent concerning these. How can we know if he speak not? The book of Isaiah, we perceive, opens with the grand announcement, "The Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children," which is read in your hearing, "and they have rebelled against me." Whom does he mean? Whom is the prophet here speaking of? One might suppose that he meant the race of Adam in general. We are not left in doubt. The recording proceeds, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." It is the people concerning whom he said by another prophet, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. And by Moses, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations of the earth. The Lord has spoken by Isaiah, and this is the subject of his speech. The chosen people delivered from Egypt, and the message thy condemnation, our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, the seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward. Now when the prophets were sent, it was to speak God's word, not their own. Ezekiel's case may be taken as illustrative of the rest. Son of man, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the words at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake to me, and said unto me, Go shut thyself within thy house, that thou shalt be dumb. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. So also Jeremiah, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So also with the minor prophets, of which Amos may be taken as an example. He says, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. So we can see that it was the Lord's words that were put in the mouths of these prophets to be spoken to his people Israel. Now we find, according to the scriptures, that Abraham was called to separate himself from his own people, and this was the beginning of a great period for the chosen of God. They were tried most severely, we know, in Egypt. After many plagues brought on the Egyptians, Moses led them from this land. God spoke to Moses and Aaron many times, instructing them in what he'd wanted done and how to do it. But pause, therefore, before crossing the Red Sea, through the wilderness, and then on to Sinai, where the law of Moses was delivered to them. We find in the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter, a few verses, beginning at the 7th verse. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered and gathered and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with them, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, But it shall surely be stoned, he will surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Beginning at the 16th verse, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the land, Lord, to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. We can compare this storm, this incident of the cloud and the loud noise that's unto a storm, we might say, that we have witnessed, the thunderstorms that we witness in our lifetime. It actually shakes our houses sometimes, a thunder. And it's very impressive. But we can imagine that it is nothing compared to what went on in this incident. But this was to impress the people that he was the only God, and that it was he who brought them out of the land of Egypt. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 18 through 21, we read again. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So we read that Moses went up unto the mount, unto God, and the angel, in whom was the name of Yahweh, commanded him to speak to the children of Israel, saying, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, above all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Now three things, we might say, stand out conspicuously in this proclamation of God to Israel by the hand of Moses. First, the appeal to the nation's experience. Ye have seen what I did. Second, obedience, the condition of the divine favor. And third, the unchallengeable right of the Almighty to make choice of any people for his own particular purpose. For all the earth is mine. We notice that when Moses went up into the mount, that the glory of the Lord was under the cloud for 6 days. And on the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now here we can scarcely miss the natural comparison with the 6 days of creation and the seventh day Sabbath of rest that followed, and extending the natural week of the divine appointment, the millennial week of God's creation of a new heavens and a new earth. we can scarcely help concluding that this sublime manifestation on Mount Sinai, some 1,600 years before Christ, was typical of that subsequent manifestation of the glory of the Lord to the prophet like unto Moses, who is also represented by Joshua, Moses' minister, who was with Moses on the mount. Now, we find that in the scriptures that God knows everything, that he is acquainted with everything that's happened since the foundation of the earth. There is nothing that God does not know. And he knew definitely, because it is stated in the scriptures, that these people would depart from him, that they would go after other gods and serve other gods instead of him. Well, we read in Deuteronomy the 31st chapter, beginning at the 16th verse, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they be, go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. So that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them unto the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves with wax and fat, they will have then turned unto other gods, and served them, and provoke me, and break my covenant." So God knew, in his wisdom, being all-powerful, all-wise God, that these people would depart from him, even though he promised them many things, if they would only obey his commands. We might say that the beginning of their downfall was when they asked for an earthly king to rule over them. In this, they rejected God. This was a turning point, although this was some time, of course, before the overturning of the kingdom, during which time they were ruled over by kings. Some were good or right in God's sight, and some did evil in God's sight. We turn back to over to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, a few verses, beginning at the 16th verse, the 20th chapter of Ezekiel. The prophet says here, "Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, Walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them, to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand, and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen, and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols." But although he would scatter them, we are told in the scriptures that he would not make a full end of them, but would gather a remnant of these people. We read in Psalms, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." We find that Micah and Amos prophesied that the light of prophecy should cease, and night should be under the princes and prophets of Israel because of their sins. But he challenged them all himself. "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." And the history of the past 2,600 years and more has amply attested the truth of the claim. He foretold that Zion should be plowed as a field and Jerusalem become heaps. But in the last days there should be a regeneration unspeakable in spite of the enmity of many nations, who should be beaten and trampled to pieces by the daughter of Zion. Now many centuries have passed since Israel dispersion. There has been neither prophet nor prophecy nor vision among them. If the prophetic gift was normal to the human temperament, there would have been no interruption to the prophetic succession. We are told in the scriptures that revelation would be suspended. "We see not our signs. There is no longer any prophet. I will hide my face from the house of Jacob. Also night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision. It shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. The sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark unto them. Then the seers shall be ashamed, for there is no answer from God. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." This is taken from the book of Amos. We find that the prophet Hosea said that the children of Israel should abide many days without a king, but afterwards should return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. He even symbolically indicated the measure of time from his day to thee, saying, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." There appears to be here a repetition of, or allusion to, the sign of the prophet Jonas. Messiah was to be declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, the third day, without seeing corruption. And here was a prophetic promise of a national resurrection for Israel the third day. And in passing, it may be said, as indicating the unity of the divine purpose and the harmony of the figures of the Spirit of God in the Bible, that the latter-day witnesses are in turn the subjects of a somewhat similar political resurrection as foretold in Revelation, the 11th chapter. But the scale of time, we find, varies of necessity as between the individual and national in these cases. In the case of Jesus, the days were literal. In the case of Hosea's prophecy, they'd appear to be of 1,000 years. Duration, in harmony with the allusion of the apostle who quoted Hosea's prophecy in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 8. Now Hosea, according to Usher's chronology, prophesied about B.C. 780, which is now 2,745 years ago, more than 2.5 days. And we have actually witnessed a political resurrection of Israel in the place, in this third day. It is an earnest, we might say, of the resurrection of the dead and of the manifestation of the sons of God. And we find again, according to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, that God will speak again. Chapter 42, verses 13 and 14, we read, "The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once." Now the scriptures, of which we know many, which are very familiar in your hearing, prove the regathering of these people from all lands, a remnant spoken of by the Lord. What we read in the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, Ezekiel 36, verses 24 and 25. He says, "I will take you out from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Also we find in Ezekiel the 37th chapter, beginning at the first verse, "The hand of the Lord was upon me. He carried me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, hath spoken it, and hath performed it, saith the Lord." We read from the 13th chapter of Zechariah. Verses 8 and 9. "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. In the house of David," I'm sorry, I'm reading from the 12th chapter.
It's the 13th chapter, verse 8 and 9. I thought it didn't sound exactly right. "Then shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem." What time this relates to, and how brought about, is stated in the next verse. "When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning." Zechariah adds, "Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord." "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle." The Spirit of God and the former prophets had foretold this day of the Lord. Isaiah had proclaimed the day of vengeance, and the travail of Zion, and the day of noise from the city, and the birth of a nation in a day. Jeremiah had seen the bringing again of the captivity of Jacob's tents, the advent of the nobles with the governor, and had been typically awakened to behold. Ezekiel saw in the last crisis the resurrection of the whole house of Israel, which we've just read about, and the controversy of the Son of Man with Gog. And he had heard the proclamation, "Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken." Joel spoke of the day of deliverance in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall roar out of Zion. Now, in all Israel's past history, there has been no day of the Lord like this. There have been indeed days of the Lord when he has gathered nations against Jerusalem to battle. But in these, he has fought with those nations against Jerusalem because of her sins. This was so notably in the case of the Romans in A.D. 70. They were indeed, as Jesus said in a parable, the king's armies destroying the murderers of his son and burning up their city. And there will be a great and notable change, both for the Jews and the world. How blessed for Israel when the words spoken by Moses will come to pass. "The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And again by Ezekiel, "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments, and do them." We find in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the first 5 verses. "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out into the uttermost parts of the heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. We know that they will all eventually be gathered. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far. We find in Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16, says, but the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their own land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. Ezekiel, the 39th chapter, beginning at the 27th verse, says, when I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and have sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord. The prophet Zephaniah foretold the utter desolation of the land and the surrounding nations, and exhorted the meek of the earth to seek righteousness and judgment, that they may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Judah and Jerusalem were to share like desolation with the land of the Philistines, Moab, Ammon, Ethiopia, and Assyria, but there was hope in their end and in the remnant of Israel. We are witnesses to the truth of the prophecy concerning the desolation, and are in the end of the waiting time spoken of by the prophet. Wait ye upon me, all the meek of the earth, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And then will I turn to the peoples a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. This is to be brought by the Lord Jesus and his associates, as all the scriptures declare. And so the prophet here continues, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. Here again is the regeneration in which Jesus promised to his disciples thrones over the restored tribes of Israel. The prophet concludes, in the name of the Lord, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that offered, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get thee praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all peoples of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Thank you.